Liebe Zuschauerinnen und Zuschauer,
dear listeners, a warm welcome to a program from our series, The Drew School is the Life. Today on the topic, the disease-causing subconscious and life. For nearly 50 years, Gabriele, the teaching prophetess and emissary of God, has been teaching us people the path back to our eternal homeland, the inner path to cosmic consciousness. This cosmic consciousness is deeply ingrained in the innermost part of our soul, as Jesus of Nazareth explained to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is within, in you." And in order to reach this kingdom of heaven in us, we are in the school of life on earth, or as Gabriele expresses it, we are on earth to become divine again. However, through our all-too-human behavior, we have curtailed our consciousness with all that we have built up between God and us, and continue to put between Him and us over and over again. All that is negative in our feelings and thoughts, words and actions are burdens on our soul and block the expansion of our consciousness. Gabriele's schooling hours are a helping hand from the cornucopia of divine wisdom. They show us how we can reduce these burdens by recognizing and clearing them up, in order to again draw closer and closer to God and open the kingdom of heaven in us. An important role is played by our subconscious, where much is stored, of which we are either not aware or only vaguely aware. But that strongly influences our daily behavior and our path through life, all the way to illness and blows of fate.
Dear listeners, perhaps today you thought something like, "Today was a good day," or "Today I got irritated," and thereby you saw yourself experiencing something beautiful, or you saw in front of you the person about whom you got angry and saw yourself talking to him. It is these scenes, like pictures, like a sequence of pictures, that open up in us when we think or when we tell someone something. Often, we are not even aware of this. Thus, Gabriele began her teaching hour with the following words. We should understand that we think and speak in pictures and that they have content. Yet we rarely experience our behavior patterns pictorially. Why is that? For one thing, our thoughts run far too fast. And for another, we usually speak too quickly and uncontrollably. Therefore, it is also not possible for us to scrutinize our thoughts and conversations so as to grasp what they may trigger. Because of this, we usually do not know what we are storing. One speaks of the conscious mind, of the subconscious, and has perhaps also heard of the superconsciousness, that is, spirit consciousness. But these words often tell us little, precisely because we are satisfied with idioms, terms, and clichés without figuring out their meaning and significance for us. Let us bring to mind that thoughts and words, like terms, are forms, capsules, as it were, shells. In these lies the essential, their content, which is expressed in pictures. Thus, behind all our thoughts and words are running pictures, sequences of pictures, which we store pictorially in the conscious mind and in the subconscious, as well as in our soul, and beyond that, in corresponding planetary constellations. Most people are not aware that they store and what they store. Our brain, the conscious mind, and the subconscious is a storage medium that stores pictorially according to the content of our thoughts and words, from which results our entire behavior.
Gabriele explains the difference between the various memories as follows. We have to distinguish between inputs stored in the conscious mind and inputs stored in the subconscious. The images in the conscious mind are shaped by our illusory world. The imagery of our conscious mind includes what we think that we represent and are, that is, what we delude ourselves with. These images deceive us. The subconscious, on the other hand, does not absorb our illusions, for example, how good and noble we are. It stores precisely, without any influence, and pictorially, the true content of our thoughts, words, and actions, what we want to hide from others and from ourselves, our ignoble impulses, feelings, claims, and ambitions. It is the subliminal which does not like to be brought into view, that is, to be clearly recognized, because it would expose us. The subconscious is incorruptible. It does not deceive itself either. When it reflects to us our all too human aspects or memories from our past. As a result, the conscious mind and subconscious are usually not in unity. The conscious mind stores our imaginary, that is, illusory world, and thus what we believe ourselves to be. The subconscious does not argue or maneuver tactically. It does not weigh. It reacts. In the rhythm of the days, it sends what it has stored, and that, in images.
Gabriele continues. Our conscience is the scales of feeling between the subconscious and the soul, and the superconsciousness, the spirit consciousness. The superconsciousness, the spirit consciousness in us, is the eternally pure. It is the core of being. It is the Spirit of God in us, which places the principles of the law of the universe into the weighing pan, into our scales of feeling. If we have not learned to question and analyze what our conscious mind often leads us to believe, then we suppress our conscience. It becomes lazy and dull. Let us realize, there is no ensouled human being without God, that is, without the divine consciousness in him. If God, the spirit consciousness in the person, also called the superconsciousness, cannot place any admonishing and helping impulses on the scales of the conscience, that is, the scales of feelings, because we do not question and analyze our thoughts, words, and behavior patterns, that is, we do not figure out what we have entered into the subconscious in order to correct it in time, then we block the scales of feelings, that is, the scales of conscience, and work exclusively with our conscious mind. This, however, continually gives us wrong information, thoughts, words, and behavioral patterns, which we are convinced are correct. We believe that this is true. Nevertheless, it is only an illusory reality that we have created ourselves, which also includes all knowledge that is merely learned or that we have read.
Let's listen to Gabriele's further explanations. Already by our empty phrases, such as, I assume that it is so, or I mean, or in my opinion, etc., we can recognize that we lack self-recognition and analytical thinking. With these platitudes, which are expressions with a content that corresponds to us, we state that we have not understood ourselves, that we say or think something of which we ourselves have no idea. The one who lives in this self-deception often considers himself clever and wise. He has not given his conscience any training. He does not want to look at himself or analyze himself. Such people waste their existence. They are satisfied with a self-adulation which they have entered into their conscious mind, with which they are in constant correspondence, until one day the subconscious is full and then expresses itself as a blow of fate. All cells, all cell tissues, the organs, and all other components of our body have a so-called compound consciousness that also consists of conscious mind, subconscious, and superconsciousness, that is, spirit consciousness. Our world of imagination, everything that we express without monitoring it, is stored by the conscious mind of those components of our body that match in vibration our complex, superficial thinking, speaking, and acting. The storing takes place according to the principle of like attracts like. On the other hand, the subconscious stores the content of our patterns of thought and behavior in the corresponding components of our body. Thus, we recognize that our organism and all the functions of our body are in constant communication with our brain, with the conscious mind, and the subconscious, and that the storing continuously takes place, imprinting in our body through our feeling, sensing, thinking, speaking, and acting.
Gabriele vertieft das Thema weiter.
Gabriele deepens the topic. And what about the spirit consciousness in every cell of our body? This is an absolute entity that cannot be influenced. The spirit consciousness is the primordial source, the being, God, the absolute law. Therefore, the spirit consciousness cannot be deceived by the conscious mind or the subconscious. It is absolute and perfect. It is the helper, the admonisher, the leader in us. If we have not learned to listen to the super consciousness, the spirit consciousness, if we have not let the scales, the feeling, the conscience, weigh and speak, if, therefore, we have not questioned ourselves, and if we have not repented, cleared up and dissolved what is against the divine in us with the help of our inner leader and helper, then gradually the subconscious fills up and becomes autonomous. An autonomous subconscious has eliminated the scales of feeling and conscience for the most part. It only acts. This means that the conscious mind can hardly give orders to the subconscious anymore. The subconscious has become independent. The autonomous subconscious has no thoughts, has no training of conscience. It carries out. According to our negative energetic inputs, it has an effect on our body, on those organs and components with which it is most intensely in correspondence. Negative energies have corresponding negative effects. Thus, the negative inputs of a person, such as envy, arrogance, wanting to be and to have, but also self-regret, resignation, fatalism, and fears, transform down the vibration of certain organs in his body, which are thus weakened and disturbed in their function. Consequently, these organs can then no longer fulfill their tasks as intended, which can lead to disease. From the effects of the negative energies that we have created in previous incarnations and in this incarnation by way of our negative behavior, other areas of our earthly life can also be affected, depending on what inputs become active. Worries, blows of fate, suffering, dissensions of all kinds can appear. Even if there may be triggers of various kinds in the individual, the cause is always ourselves.
Gabriele explains how our thoughts can have an effect on health and body. Instead of questioning the initial signs, the first disturbances, which our body, for example, transmits to us, to repent of the faulty attitudes recognized, to clear them up with the help of the inner helper and advisor, and no longer do them, instead of affirming the positive in the symptoms, thereby mobilizing the self-healing forces, we affirm the disturbances and the illness beginning in our body. We also often brood over worries and problems in our thoughts until they become breeding grounds for illness or disease. With our brooding thoughts, we attract the corresponding germs. If the human being decimates the vibration of his body by revolving around himself, then the brain is also able to perform less and less. Conditions of weakness of various kinds set in. In old age, the body becomes less mobile. The legs don't really want to move anymore. The inertia of the brain becomes noticeable all over the body. We continue to affirm these phenomena, the faulty switching points of our thinking and acting, and which the autonomous subconscious transmits to our body by continuing to complain about our ailments and that no one helps us, not even the doctor. How can the doctor help us? Can he make us healthy if we constantly reinforce and amplify what is flowing from our autonomous subconscious by moaning, complaining, and thus bring our whole body into a vibration that causes further indispositions, difficulties, and illnesses?
Gabriele points out to us how important it is to deal properly with the divine energy in us. Our life on earth is invaluable. Day after day, God, the Eternal, gives each one of us His high energy so that we can recognize and overcome burdens, negative energies which we created in previous incarnations and in this earthly life, in order to grow more and more into a life in His Spirit. But if we use the spiritual energy given to us by letting it flow into the negative, the self-centered, this is an abuse of this divine gift, which does not lead us to salvation. In this way, we often treat ourselves and the gift of our life on earth too negligently, by repeatedly affirming illness, suffering, problems, blows of fate, and the like. We revolve around our ego, wasting a lot of divine energy and reducing our brain activity. It is then not surprising that we complain of headaches and forgetfulness or nervousness and insecurity. Apart from memory loss, possibly caused by brain damage, each one of us has a brain activity, a memory capacity of unimaginable power. Of course, the brain must be trained for the positive. We often hear, I am forgetful, or I can't remember any numbers, or I can't remember what you say, I have to note it down, or I'm too tired to think about it. Forgetfulness sets in through indifference. We take in what others tell us thoughtlessly and without interest. If we get to the bottom of this indifference, we inevitably come up against our egocentricity. We have in mind our own seeming well-being, our interests, our benefit. We don't care how our fellow people feel. This is the inertia and coldness of heart that makes humankind sick.
Gabriele continues. Often we say, I affirm health in me. This affirmation is right and good. But we must ask ourselves, what have we input in our subconscious for years, decades? Does it accept our affirmation, or does it autonomously send the opposite? Training the brain could stimulate the reversal of polarity of our conscious mind and subconscious, so that the disease-causing subconscious receives the appropriate positive signals from the conscious mind and gradually focuses on them. With training the brain, Gabriele does not mean a technique that automatically leads to health. Rather, it is about honestly getting to the bottom of our subconscious and changing ourselves, that is, our thinking, wanting, and acting from inside out. To this end, Gabriele explains, the prerequisite for something to change in us is the recognition of what needs to change. It is therefore necessary to question our thinking, speaking, and acting in order to gradually find out who we really are and what is stored in our subconscious, which may have a strong effect on our body. Training the brain is decisively determined by the direction of our thoughts. As long as our thinking is negative, we direct the impulses of our brain in the wrong direction. We not only waste energy, but also make ourselves sick. If we want to train our brain in a positive way, we have to take time for this. For example, if we affirm the health of our body, the health of certain organs, then we should pause at each affirmation and wait for the reaction of our body. If we practice this first step, we very soon notice a movement in our solar plexus, a kind of grumbling. Our nervous system signals, for example, that the subconscious is sending other impulses. If we take the time to perceive these nerve impulses in the conscious mind, we may experience pictures from the subconscious, contents of our behavior pattern that we were not aware of before, but which are decisive, for example, for heart problems, stomach problems, and the like. We should allow these pictures to take effect in us so that we can look more closely at them. The pictures have an effect on our disposition. Very gradually, what is bothering our body crystallizes.
Gabriele explains more. If with the help of the inner helper and advisor, we repent of the faulty attitudes, which are faulty switching points in the body, clear them up and no longer think and do the same and similar things, then we develop the sensitivity that turns to within. As a result, the scales of feelings and conscience is built up again. Then the Spirit of God is able to place His help, His healing, but also His admonishing impulses into these scales because we let Him and are willing to accept and use His power. Through a conscious affirmation, which is accompanied by clearing up the all-too-human aspects that then emerge, we experience a greater dynamism in our brain activity, which leads to an increase of energy in the body. Those who look deeper, who question themselves, do not let themselves be deceived by their subconscious. Therefore, it is necessary to train the brain to explore the subconscious, to let the pictures come, to look at them, so that, with the help of the Spirit, we clear what is harming us. Well, dear listeners, during this teaching hour, from which we were able to read excerpts today, Gabriele conveys to us important insights into the significance of conscious thinking, speaking, and acting. One is amazed at how little we human beings know ourselves. With this schooling, we now have an excellent tool in hand to get to know ourselves. In doing so, the Spirit of God is at our side as soon as we set out to recognize and end our all-too-human programming. By orienting our thinking, speaking, and doing to the Ten Commandments of God and the Sermon on the Mount of Jesus of Nazareth, we align more and more with the inner helper, with God in us. For today, we take our leave of you, and we wish you and all of us many good insights and experiences, and look forward to welcoming you to our next program of The True School is Life. Goodbye, and a warm greetings in God.